So, Bosai, we are now almost on the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. And let's begin by reviewing what we did yesterday that's relevant to our takeoff for today. The Gemara here presents a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda Braid Rab Chia on the one hand and Rabbi Yochanan on the other. And the machlokes revolves around the question of Yitur B'gadim, adding an extra beged to the number of Big Day Kahuna that the Torah requires, in a case where the beged was added Shalom B'makom B'gadim. For example, let's say he adds a beged onto his fingers. The Big Day Kahuna are not worn anyway around the fingers. If, on the other hand, he adds a beged to a place which is called a Makom B'gadim, that's where the Big Day Kahuna are worn, that would be a psul called Yitur B'gadim, which is derived from a pasuk in the Gemara in Tzvachim on Daf Yud Ches Amid Aleph. And the pasuk there says, B'nei Aaron HaKohanim B'kihuhunam. If they are Kohanim B'kihuhunam, meaning wearing their B'gadim, then they are K'sherim LaVoda. But if they wear either less B'gadim than they're required, or even more B'gadim than they're required, that's going to be a psul of Yitur B'gadim. Rabbi Yochanan, on the one hand, holds that this psul of Yitur B'gadim is adding a beged b'makom b'gadim. But on his etzba, that would not be Yitur B'gadim. And Rabbi Yehuda Braid Rab Chia disagrees, l'chumra. He holds that Yitur B'gadim applies even in a case similar to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah here is addressing the case where he has a wound on his fingers and he wraps a gemi around that wound. Now that gemi is not a beged, but if, says Rabbi Yehuda, he had wrapped a beged around his wound, which is on his fingers, which is called a tzaltzul katan, a chagura katana, some sort of a belt that he wraps around his fingers, which is not a reed, a piece of grass, and therefore it would be a beged, then it becomes yitur b'gadim, even though he's wearing it shalo b'makom b'gadim, meaning around his fingers. Rabbi Yochanan, as we said earlier, limits the psul of yitur b'gadim to a case where he's adding a beged b'makom b'gad, not around his fingers, so that a tzaltzul katan, a small belt that he would wrap around his fingers, would not be a psul of Yitur B'gadim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, because it's shalo b'makom b'gadim, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would insist that this would be a psul of Yitur B'gadim, despite the fact that it's shalo b'makom b'gadim. Now, we have to add a point which I missed yesterday, and I saw since the Shia yesterday, and that is that the discussion about Yitur B'gadim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, which is B'makom B'gadim, is a case, and I'll explain why in just a second, where he adds the beged on top of the beged that he's wearing. Because, as the Tosus HaRush points out here in the sugya, if he would be wearing that extra beged under his garment, B'makom B'gadim, then Rabbi Yochanan does not need a psul of Yitur B'gadim. That would be considered a psul of Chatzitza. Anything that separates his body from the B'gadim is a Chatzitza. And that could be even a hair. So what I gained from this Tosus HaRush is something I think very fundamental as we go through the sugya, and I missed it yesterday, that we are addressing two different categories, two different issues of a possible psul with regard to Big Day Kahuna, according to Rabbi Yochanan. One psul is where he adds a beged underneath his begadim, meaning on his body. That's not a psul of yitur begadim. That's simply a psul of chatzitza, because the Torah requires that the begadim of the Kohen be directly in contact with his body. Then we have a different issue, which is our discussion, and that's yitur begadim, which means, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that he adds a beged on top of his beged. So let's say, for example, we said that a tzaltzul katan was a chagora. Well, where is he putting this belt? If his belt is around his begadim, which is b'makom begadim, then he's adding an extra beged, and that's called yitur begadim. We're going to discuss the size of that beged. Is there a minimum size of shalosh al shalosh atzbos or not? That we'll get to in just a minute. Whereas, if on the one end he has this extra beged on his body, separating, as it were, his body from the beged, that's not yitur begadim, that's just the chatzitza. That's even a more fundamental psul. The Torah is machadesh that even if it's not a chatzitza, namely the extra beged is on top of his beged, so he's wearing big dekuna that are connected directly to his body, nevertheless it's possible because of yitur begadim. Says Rabbi Yochanan, yitur begadim means he added a beged on top of his big day kahuna. He tied this belt around his ksones, for example. But if he ties something around his hands, which are not a mokom begadim, there are no big day kahuna around one's hands, then, okay, he added a beged for whatever reason. But that's not a beged of big day kahuna. He's not adding to big day kahuna. And here, Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rab Chia comes up with a chumrah, and he passels yitur begadim in the case of a tzaltzul katan that's being wrapped around his fingers, which is clearly shalom b'makom begadim. And therefore the entire body of the Kohen, from the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda, is subject, lends itself to the psul of yitur begadim. Then the Gemara asks the following question. Now, in the case of a gemi, we said that in our Mishnah, a gemi is an issue of refuah on Shabbos, and we're going to allow it in Migdash because of the principle of Ein Shvus b'Migdash. But the Gemara asks, well, what is Rabbi Yehuda telling me? That a gemi is a Shabbos problem because the Kohen is wearing it and it has therapeutic qualities to it, and therefore it could be refuah, it could be a shvus, and we're going to be mekil b'makom migdash, as we said yesterday, if the Kohen enters into the migdash for the purpose of avod. But Rabbi Yehuda says if he were to tie on his fingers a tzaltzul katan, there would be a problem of yitur begadim, because as opposed to a gemi, which is not a beged, a tzaltzul katan, a chagor ktana, is a beged. So the Gemara says, well, the Kohen has to do the avodah with his hands, and the Torah says v'lokach ha-kohen v'zorak ha-kohen, and the sugya in Masechta Zvachim Daf Yudal derives from these psukim that shetehei lekicha bi'atzmo shel kohen, uzrika bi'atzmo shel kohen, which means that the clay shares that he uses for, let it be, kabos hadam, or holochas hadam, or zrikas hadam, have to be in direct contact with his yodayim. So that why does Rabbi Yehuda have to introduce this new category called yitur begadim when he wears this tzaltzul katan around his fingers? He should leave out that new psul of yitur begadim and simply rely on the old psul, the more fundamental psul, that the Torah requires atzmo shel kohen, as opposed to a chatzitza that separates his hands from the kli. Now, if he's got a tzaltzul katan wrapped around his fingers, then that itself should be a chatzitza. And The truth is, at this point of the Gemara, there should be no difference between a gemi wrapped around his hands and a tzaltzel katan. Because even if I grant you that a gemi is not a beged, but nevertheless, it is a chatzitza. Even a hair could be a chatzitza. How much more so a gemi, a reed of grass? And that's going to separate his hands from the kli sharis, either for Kabbalah, for Zrika. So, how do we understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is implying that he could be machshir himself for the avodah, and we're going to allow him to violate the Isur Refuah and Shvus in Migdash by wrapping a gemi around his wound. Isn't that going to be a chatzitza? And certainly a gemi is a chatzitza. And the Gemara does somersaults in the air to reconcile the psul of chatzitza with the gemi that he's wearing. Or, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of tzaltzel katan, which is not posul b'toras chatzitza, but rather b'toras yitur b'gadim, and he's wearing this gemi or this tzaltzel on his left hand, he's doing the avodah with his right hand. Or, for example, his right hand, he's doing the avodah, but part of his hand comes in direct contact with the kli sharis, the other part of his hand is going to be covered by this gemi or by this tzaltzel katan. So that's round number one. Now, the Gemara introduces Rava. And that's where we started yesterday. Because we're going to have a statement of Rava in the name of Rav Chisda. And we're going to prove that that statement of Rava cannot be reconciled with Rabbi Yochanan. And we're going to analyze whether that statement of Rava can be reconciled with Rabbi Yehuda Berei Rabbi Chia. What was the statement of Rava in the name of Rav Chisda that we mentioned as we closed the shiur yesterday? And the answer is that if you have an addition to the body of the Kohen, he adds something. Rava asks, where exactly does he add this thing to his body? If he adds it directly to his body, in a way that it separates his body from the Big Day Kahuna, Rava says that's a psul of chatzitza. And even if that object that separates his body from the Big Day Kahuna is a neimah, is nothing more than a thread or a hair, it doesn't matter. It's a chatzitza, and it separates his body from Big Day Kahuna. Clearly, in this case of a neimah, says Rava, the name of Rava, so we're dealing with a neimah that's b'makom b'gadim. Because chatzitza separates his body from the Big Day Kahuna. Then Rava, in the name of Rav Chisda, goes on with another category, and he speaks about adding something to the body of the Kohen, where there's no shaychus of chatzitza, because he puts it onto his body, shalo b'makom b'gadim. And at this point, shalom b'makom b'gadim, we have removed chatzitza from the table, and it's no longer an issue. But we have another issue, says Rava, and that is yitur b'gadim. And again, we're talking shalom b'makom b'gadim, because if it was b'makom b'gadim, then we would have a chatzitza, and we would talk about a neimah. But now we're talking about a cloth which has a certain minimum shear, and the size is such that it serves and is defined as a beged, and that's called shalosh al shalosh. So now, with shalom b'makom b'gadim, there's no psul of chatzitza between his body and Big Day Kahuna. Would he be allowed to add something to his body in a way that it's not a chatzitza because it's shalom b'makom b'gadim? And Rava says it all depends. What's the size of that cloth that he is wrapping around his body, shalom b'makom b'gadim? Is it less than shalosh al shalosh etzbos? in which case it cannot classify as a beged, and that's a universal halacha in many different areas of halacha, and therefore this cannot qualify as yitur begodim to passel the avodah of the kohen, which, as we said, the Gemara in Tzvachim derives a psul of yitur begodim from a pasuk. Well, yitur begodim requires a beged, says Rava. Less than shalosh al shalosh does not qualify as a beged, but if it's shalosh al shalosh, it's bos. Then chotzetzes. Now, we're going to see over and over again that in the terminology employed by this Gemara, the word chotzetzes takes on two different meanings in two different contexts. Honestly, I find it very confusing. Because the word chotzetzes, in the case of sholosh al sholosh etz bos, is not the classic definition or usage of that terminology, that term. We're not talking about chatzitza, shalom b'vakum begodim. We're talking about yitur begodim. And the mefarshim are going to try to work it out why the Gemara uses the term chatzitza when we're not really referring to its technical original use of chatzitza, but rather we're using it as a psul of yitur begodim. And b'li neder, we'll see if we can, you know, find the modus vivendi and work out the mechanics here, why and when the Gemara used the word chatzitza, but really it's out of context. It's not, it's a borrowed term. It's not really chatzitza. Chatzitza means wedging between X and Y. Here we're not wedging between two things, between the body of the Kohen and his begodim, because he's wearing this beged, attaching it, shalom b'makom begodim, and therefore the word chotzetzes here means yiter begodim. Now, the Gemara is going to dissect it in the following way. This statement of Rav, and the name Rav Chisda, is clearly antithetical to Rabbi Yochanan's position, because Rabbi Yochanan says that yitur begodim means he adds another begin on top of his begodim. There's no psul of chatzitza, but there's a psul of yitur begodim. And that's dafka b'makom begodim. Rav is talking about a case of shalom b'makom begodim. That's explicit in the words of Rav. And nevertheless, he's not applying the psul of chatzitza, because there's nothing separating between his body and the big day kuhuna. It's shalom b'makom begodim. And B, he's not limiting this psul to a neimah. He's expanding it. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's, my language is not precise. He's not allowing for a psul of a neimah. He's requiring a sheer of a cloth that has three etzbos on three etzbos. So it's impossible to assume that Rav is talking about chatzitza, but he's talking about yitur begodim. And where is it? It's shalom b'makom begodim, which according to Rabbi Yochanan could never ever qualify possibly as a psul of yitur begodim. So that's why, as we begin our study today, Ad Rabbi Yochanan, so we're counting up from the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up. Ad Rabbi Yochanan, Vadei Pliga, certainly Rav's statement in the name of Rav Chisda is contradictory to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rav clearly says that if you have a beged of shalosh al shalosh, it's a psul of yitur begodim, even shalom b'makom begodim. But now we want to analyze and dissect Ad Rabbi Yehuda b'rei d'Rabbi Chiya minema d'pligi. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that a tzaltzul katan, which he wraps around his hand, is a psul of yitur begodim. And as we worked it out, it's not a psul of chatzitza because it's on his left hand and on his right hand, or it's in part of the hand, you know, the front of his hand, which does not grab onto the clay shores, etc., etc. So we're talking about, according to Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rabbi Chiya, a psul of yitur begodim, shalom b'makom begodim. So from that perspective, it would seem that Rava, in the name of Chisda, and Rav Chiya bar, and Rav, and Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya, are saying one and the same thing. They're ganging up together, joining forces against Rav Yochanan, and they are postulating a psul of yitur begodim, shalom b'makom begodim. because this tzaltzel katan of Rabbi Yehuda is being wrapped around his fingers in a place which doesn't wedge as a chatzitza between his hand and the klisharis. So it's only possible as a candidate of a psul of yitur begadim, and yet it's on his hands. Clearly not makom begadim. There are no big dekuna worn on the hands, and therefore it sounds like, at the face of it, Rabbi Yehuda, Brei Rabbi Chiya, is saying the exact same thing as Rava, that there's a psul of yitur begadim shalom makom begadim. The Gemara says, wait a minute. We have in Rabbi Yehuda, Brei Rabbi Chiya, a chumrah that goes beyond the chumrah of Rava. Because Rava postulated that Yitur begadim, Shalom b'makom begadim, requires a shear of Shalosh al Shalosh etzbos. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Brei Rabbi Chiya, was speaking about a tzaltzel katan, which does not have the shear of Shalosh al Shalosh etzbos. And in that sense, we cannot reconcile in one side of the Gemara, we cannot reconcile Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rabbi Chiya with Rava. Because whereas Rava says the psul of Yitur Begadim, Shalom Makom Begadim, requires a shear, a minimum size of Shalosh al Shalosh etzbos, Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rabbi Chiya drops the requirement of Shalosh al Shalosh etzbos, postulating a psul of Yitur Begadim, even in the case of a tzaltzel katan. So Gemara says, nay, we can in fact reconcile Rabbi Yehuda with Rava. And Rabbi Yehuda is embellishing, meaning adding a new dimension, an element into the equation of Rava's statement in the name Rav Chisda. Yes. There's a psul of Yitur Begadim, Shalom B'Makom Begadim. And yes, we require a minimum shear of Shalosh al Shalosh. But how do we understand the shear of Shalosh al Shalosh? Here's a lamda shechakira. Is it a shear of Kol HaTorah Kula? Meaning, classic, whenever the Torah sets up a shear, less than that shear does not qualify. Or is the shear of Shalosh al Shalosh not a shear in and of itself, but rather it's halach of chashivus? I mean, Mashal Amad HaVedome, we find in Meleches Hotzah B'Shabbos that there's something called a shear of Grogeres. And less than a Grogeres, you're not chayef Hotzah in Ochel. But what happens, the Gemara has in Masech the Shabbos, and I'm just using this as an analogy, if you have less than a Grogeres of something that's very chashiv to you. So let's say, for example, you have a seed. It's a very small mustard seed. It's less than the size of a Grogeres. But you're going to carry it out from Rishus HaYoch to Rishus HaRab and plant it and end up with an entire tree of a mustard product. So the Gemara says that the shear for Hotzah is a shear of chashivus, which normally, unless I know otherwise, would be kigrogeres. But if I can get chashivas in less than a grogeres, in some exceptional scenarios, then I'd be chayef for less than a grogeres. Or, for example, if you remember the Shita of Rav Shimon, that if he takes something and he designates it before Shabbos, and it's less than a grogeres, and he wants to carry it out, then he's chayef, because that gives it chashivas. And then you have the whole machlokes, where the subjective chashivas is enough. Here, and this is where Rabbi Yehuda is embellishing and expanding on Rava's statement, you can have ki'ilu, a shear of gimel al gimel etzpos, even though it's less than gimel al gimel etzpos, because the shear of gimel al gimel is not a shear unto itself, begufo shel shear, but rather it's a shear to evaluate chashivos. And although it's true that as a general rule, in order for a beged, a small piece of cloth, to be considered a beged, it's got to have at least this minimum size of shalosh shosbos, the exception to the rule is going to be a tzaltzel katan. And a tzaltzel katan, which is used l'noi, it's something that beautifies as an ornate garment, it has the chashivas of a beged, even if it's less than shalosh al shalosh etzbos. So that's not a contradiction to undermine Rava's position. It's just a clarification of Rava's position. So the Gemara says, shiny tzaltzul katan dechashiv. Even in the absence of the shiur, the minimum shiur of shalosh al shalosh, it has chashivas. It's something that's beautifying, and it adds the noi to his appearance, to his apparel, to his beged. Even Rava would agree that in such a beged, you don't require shalosh al shalosh. We're going to now drop the requirement of shalosh al shalosh. There's going to be a psul of yitur begadim, even in a case of less than shalosh al shalosh. That's what Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Chiya wanted to point out in the context of Rav. Now, let's just summarize three shitas. Number one, we have Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Chiya, who says that there's a psul of yitur begadim, shelo b'makom begadim, in the case of tzilzul katan, even though it has no shear of gimel al gimel, and kol shekein, much more so if it's a beged that has a shear of shalosh al shalosh. We have Rava, who, according to one side in the Gemara, is another shita, and he says that a tzilzul katan, shelo b'makom begadim, would not pasul b'toris yitur begadim, because it doesn't have the shear of gimel al gimel. And the absolute requirement for a psul of yitur begadim shalom makom begadim according to Rava's sheet is that it be the size of a gimel al gimel. Then we have the third sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, who denies the whole entity of yitur begadim in the case of shalom makom begadim. On the other hand, if lemaskana we accept the svara of chashivus, which means that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chiya is clarifying Rava, and he's pointing out that you could have a beged that's upgraded to the status of beged, even though it's less than gimel al gimel, because it has the chashivas of a tzaltzul katan, which is linoi, then there are only two shitas. And then the machlokas here is between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yehuda on one side of the fence, and Rabbi Yochanan on the other. Is there a psul of yitur begadim shalom makom begadim? And if there is such a thing, then it breaks down into two categories. You could have a cloth that's gimel al gimel, shalom makom begadim, or you could have a tzaltzel katan, which has chashivus even, and is considered a beged even if it doesn't have shalosh al shalosh, and we're holding that shalom makom begadim is a psul of yitur begadim. And then we have the other sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, that there ain't no such thing as a psul of yitur begadim shelo b'makom begadim. Lishna achrina, now the Gemara presents a different girsa, and Amri lei, there are those who say that Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Chiya lo shanu ela gemi, the heter in Migdash to do this kricha, as we said, to wrap around a gemi, a grass reed, a reed made of grass on his around his wound in the Migdash, that's permissible. Avol tzaltzul katan chotzeitz. And again, we're coming back to that same ambiguity that I pointed out before, that the word chotzeitz here should not be taken literally in its original use as a terminology to refer to a separation between the gufo shel kohen and his begadim, but rather we're talking about chotzeitz as a psul of yitur begadim, and therefore it would passel the kohen, and therefore you would certainly not allow, even on a weekday, for the kohen to wrap a tzaltzul katan around his fingers, because that would be a psul of yitur begadim, even shalom b'makom begadim, and that would, on the contrary, disqualify the kohen. Our purpose here, whether it's during the week or on Shabbos, is to be machshir the kohen. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, a tzaltzul, which he wraps around his makah, is not going to passel his avodah b'shem yitur begadim. And why is that so? So until now, in the first lesson, we said it's not so because it's shalom b'makom Pagadim, according to Lishna Basra, Rabbi Yochanan had something totally different in mind. He had in mind Rava's point that a psul of Yitur Pagadim, Shalom B'makum Pagadim, requires a minimum shear of Sholosh al Sholosh. Lo Amru Chatzitza, and again, the word Chatzitza means, in this context, we're talking about a psul of Yitur Pagadim, is bepachos misholosh al sholosh. Ah. You see, that's where it's ambiguous. The word chatzitza here refers to a separation between his body and his begotten. How do I know this? Because it says bepachos misholosh al sholosh, that is a psul of chatzitza, even if it's less than sholosh al sholosh. That, according to Rabbi Yochanan, could not mean Yitur B'gadim, because if it's less than Shalosh Al Shalosh, it doesn't have a Shem Beged. But B'makom B'gadim, and we said that B'makom B'gadim, even a Nema, a small chut or a hair, would separate and serve as a chatzitza between his body and Big Day Kohuna. Avo Shalom B'makom B'gadim, where there's no psul of chatzitza, but rather there's only a psul of Yitur B'gadim, is then Rabbi Yochanan says, and here we turn to Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, Sholosh al Sholosh Chotzetzes. Again, the word Chotzetzes, very confusing, but here it means Yitur B'gadim. And Pachos Misholosh Eina Chotzetzes, it's not a Chatzitza. Which means that according to the second Lishna, Rabbi Yochanan is repeating, I mean, he was before Rabbi Chisda, but he is identifying with Rabbi Chiya that a psul of Yitur B'gadim, Shalom Makom B'gadim, requires the Shem Beged of Kalatar Kula, which means a minimum of Sholosh Al Sholosh. And there's no room for Chashivus. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, B'raid Rabbi Chiya, is going to introduce the possibility of a Beged that would possibly disqualify the Kohen as Yitur B'gadim, even though it's Shalom Makom B'gadim, even though it doesn't have Sholosh Al Sholosh Etzbos, because of the Chashivas of Etzaltzel Katan, Linoi. And now we have two Amoraim converging to attack Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chiya. And that's Rabbi Yochanan and Rava, both of whom who maintain that if your psul of Yitur B'gadim is Shalom B'makom B'gadim, then we require a minimum of Sholosh Al Sholosh Etzbos flat. That's a sheer classic of Begufo Shel Shem Beged. And we're not going to allow for Chashivus in the case of Etzaltzel Katan. V'hainu de Rava Amar Rav Chisda, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is concurring with the view of Rav in the name of Rav Chisda, that if it's B'makom B'gadim, then we have the law of Chatzitza, and even a Nema will serve as a Chatzitza between the Gufo Shel Kohen and the B'gadim. If it's Shalom B'makom B'gadim, there is a Psul of Yitur B'gadim, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. That's the Lishna Basra against the Lishna Kama, because the Lishna Kama of Rabbi Yochanan says that there's an absolute requirement in Yitur B'gadim that this psul only applies to Makom B'gadim. Now we're changing our view of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is identifying with the view of Rava in the name of Rav Chisda. There is a psul of Yitur B'gadim Shalom Makom B'gadim, but it's got to be a Beged that reflects the shear of Kolatar Kul of Beged, meaning Shalosh Al Shalosh. And now, Lema Pliga, the Rabbi Yehuda B'rei, the Rabbi Chiya. Although Rabbi Yehuda B'rei Rabbi Chiya is on board with the other Amoraim, with Rabbi Yochanan, and with Rav in the name of Rav Chisda, that there is a psul of Yitur B'gadim, Shalom B'makom B'gadim, and therefore he, Rabbi Yehuda, absolutely prohibits a tzaltzel katan, which is wrapped around his hand, because that's a psul of Yitur B'gadim, but nevertheless, that's against Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. Why? Because a tzaltzel katan is a psul of Yitur B'gadim, even though it doesn't have sholosh al sholosh. And the Gemara says, you know what? That certainly is against Rabbi Yochanan's position, meaning Rabbi Yochanan certainly rules out a psul of Yitur B'gadim in the case of tzaltzel katan, insofar as it has less than the absolute shear of Shalosh al Shalosh, but as far as Rav is concerned, we're not necessarily postulating a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, Breid, Rabbi Chia, and Rav, because Shiny Tzaltzel Katan, Dechashiv. It could be that Rav might accept the principle of Chashivus, and therefore Tzaltzel Katan would serve as a beged that would qualify, or shall we say disqualify, the Kohen, B'toras Yitur B'godim, because of its chashivus, that it's made L'shem Noi, and it's worn for that purpose. So even Rava would agree that there is such an entity as a Beged that's less than Shalosh Al Shbosh, that passels Mishum Yitur B'godim. So then it would be Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rabbi Chia plus Rava on one side of the fence against Rabbi Yochanan on the other side of the fence. So basically, the Gemara now is vacillating about the sheet of Rava. How do we understand Rava in the name of Rav Chisda, who requires a beged of Gimel al Gimel? Is that an absolute requirement of a psul of Yitur begotten because the beged has Gimel al Gimel, or is it perhaps relative and it could change if there is chashivus? The Gemara asks Ula Rab Yochanan, who says that you're allowed to wear a tzilzil katan as long as it's not a literal chatzitza, meaning it's shalom b'makom begadim, lo b'makom avoda, is ad yashmi'inan gami, until the Tana wants to tell me a chiddush that you're allowed to be korech a gemi around your finger. In other words, our kohen is allowed on Shabbos to wrap his wound with a gemi. L'shminin tzaltzel katan. You know, why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, didn't the Mishnah tell me a more far-reaching conclusion, a bigger chiddush, namely that even a tzaltzel katan is going to be a problem. I'm sorry, is not going to be a problem, meaning he can wrap around a tzaltzel katan, and now we're introducing another chiddush here, and that is that there's no psul of Yitur B'godim, even if you have a beged that has chashivas to it. And the reason for that is because Rabbi Yochanan insists that there's an absolute requirement of Gimel al Gimel. So my answer is Milsagav Urcha Kamashvan Digemi Mase. The Mishnah wants to tell us that although Refuah is prohibited on Shabbos, B'Migdash, we apply the principle of Ein Shavus B'Migdash, and the Kohen is permitted for the sake of the Avoda to, so to speak, violate the Shavus of Refuah on Shabbos. And that's why the Mishnah focuses on Gemi. But in truth, the Mishnah could have told me in Hilchas Yitur B'Gadim a more far-reaching conclusion, a bigger Chiddush, namely that even a Tzaltzel Katan, despite the fact that it has a certain Chashivas of a Beged, since it's lacking in the absolute requirement of a Shear of Gimel al Gimel, therefore it does not qualify as a psul of Yitur B'Gadim, and that's according to Rabbi Yochanan. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Now, before we start this Mishnah, I would like to read to you a little bit of background here, which is offered by the English translation, so that we know what we're talking about here on Daf Kuf Dalet. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Again, as we've seen over and over again, our discussion is about reducing a violation of Shabbos from a Doraisa level down to a Shavus, Derabbanan, and allowing that in the Beis HaMikdash. Ein Shavus B'Mikdash. And we're talking about the Kevesh. As you know, the Kevesh was a ramp that led the Kohen from the Ritzpas HaZora up to the Mizbeach. And there's a discussion here about Bidika. Okay? I'm sorry. Just one second. I have a technical problem. As my wife says, my desk is always too cluttered here. Because I'm trying to do the Zoom and it... Okay. Okay, now it's a little bit better. Okay. So we're talking about bezika. Not bedika, I'm sorry, but bezika. So what is this process called bezika? And he says the following. There's no roof that covers the Azara. So the Migdash is what we would call Tachas Kipas HaShamayim, which means during the rainy season that the ramp itself becomes very damp. It becomes very wet from rain. And this could be a real tricky situation for the Kohanim who have to climb the ramp. And when you're going on an incline, on a wet surface, it is very dangerous. So how do we solve this problem? We're going to do something that outside the Mikdash would be prohibited on Shabbos. And we'll see why. And that's called Bozkim Melach. Bozkim, the salt that they used to use were very solid, large clumps of salt that they extracted from, from the Dead Sea and other places. And they would break that up on Shabbos into smaller pieces, something that normally is also Mishum Shvus. And they would break up this salt in order to scatter it on the Kevesh of the Mizbeach. And the reason they did so is to protect themselves from the rain. Now, if we were in Medina, it would be Asur. And the reason for that is because he's not preparing it for use. The salt is going to remain permanently on the Kevesh. And therefore, it is, again, this is a big chiddush, it's Dome Lemeleches Bone. Now, why is this Dome Lemeleches Bone? Where's the connection between breaking up a large piece of salt and construction? And the answer is he takes these pieces of salt after he breaks them and he scatters them around the Kevesh. He's improving the Kevesh. That's called Michse Kebona. And that's a Shvus D'Rabbanan. Only because he's not doing this on a temporary basis. Because if you have a Michse Kebona B'Derech Aroi, and we've discussed this in the past, in cases like being Mosif al Ohel, Oroi, that it's both a pre-existing Ohel plus it's only a Mechseka Ohel because he's adding to a pre-existing Ohel, and in addition it's Bederech Aroi, then we were matir it. But here it's not Bederech Aroi. He has no intention of collecting this salt from the Kevesh. He is intending to add the salt as a permanent addition to the Kevesh. It really improves the Kevesh because it's no longer slippery. You've got salt that is spread around. You know, it reminds me of the old winters that I was used to in my childhood, where after we shoveled out the snow, going, you know, we had like, for our house, we had five steps up to the, you know, from the ground up to the entrance to the house, and it was very, very dangerous. So we scattered salt. Do you remember this? I mean, I was 2 years in Canada. I mean, this was a major undertaking, you know, spreading the salt. And that improves the karka of, in this case, the Kevesh. And that's Mechse Kibona, and it's on a permanent basis. We have no intention of removing that salt. You know, if we had our druthers, the salt would remain there for the entire winter months. However, although it's Michse Kibona, and therefore it would be a Shvus Dirabono, nevertheless in Migdash, we're going to allow it. And this is all, as we said before, Litzorech Havoda, so that the Kevesh, now we facilitate the Kevesh be, you know, as a place where the Kohanim climb up to the Mizbeach to do the Avod. That's the opening line in our Mishnah, Bozkin Melech, we break up the salt, and spread it al gabi kevesh bishvil shelo yachliku, so the kohenim should not slip because of the wet surface of the kevesh, which is wet from the rain. Now we go on to another issue, which is called Mimali Mibar Hagola Umibar Hagodol Begalgol Beshabbos. Okay, we have something called a galgol. And this galgol is a kli that's used to draw water. And there are two scenarios in which water is drawn. And one is called the Bar Hagola, and the other is called Habar Hagodol. Okay, these are wells. And I'm going to read to you the footnote here about these wells. He says that the Bar Hagola is called as such Al Shem Shekaru Osa Ole Gola Sha'olu Migolos Bavel. So we're talking about the period of the Second Commonwealth, and the Ole Gola would dig this cistern, and therefore they gave the name Bar Hagola. And Tosus Rid says that the makom of this Bar Hagola was an Elishka, an office, which is called the Lishkas Hagola, and the Lishka got its name because of the bar, so that the bar was surrounded by this Lishka, which is called the Lishkas Habar, and the bar itself is the Bar Hagola. Okay, so you have the Lishkas Hagola and the Bar Hagola. Now the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, not here, but in his Chidushim to Masechta Midos, writes that it's called the Lishkas Hagola, Shayushoavim es Hamayim Mimenu al Yidei Galgal. So they had this kind of a wheel that was used in order to draw the water from this cistern. And the word Galgal has the Gimel Lamed in it as its Shoresh, and hence Gola, which also has the Gimel Lamed. So it's not because of the Ole Bavel, but rather it's called by this name because of the Galgal. It seems that this insight predates the Vilna Gaon back to the time of the Rav Yah, who was one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. And he's quoted by the Tosus Yontif, who I think also was before the Gra, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe around the same time. His name was Heller. Anyway, Rabbi Yonasan, who's a Rishon, writes that it's called Gola from a pasuk in Zechariah, which is called Gola al Rosha. That's the Maftir, the Haftorah for Shabbos Chanukah, for Gola al Rosha, in Perek Dalet of Zechariah. And the Mishnah in Masechta Midos tells us that Lishkas HaGola Shom Hayabar Kavua Vagalgol Nosun Olav Umaspikim Mayim Lechol Hazara. So the Mayim in this Be'er, or shall we call it a Bar Hagola, was very good water. It was drinkable. It was Mesukim, Mayim Mesukim Ru'uyim L'shtia. And that would give us enough water supply, our water supply for the entire Azor, for all the Kohanim in the Azor. And that's called a Bar Hagola. Then we have something called the Bar Hagadol, which was located also in the Lishka in the Azara. And Rabbeinu Yonasan says, based on Masechta Midos, that although sometimes the Mishnah mentions Bar Hagola in the Lishka Sagola, it doesn't even mention the Bar Hagadol, the source for the Bar Hagadol is right here in our Mishnah. And he asks the question, why do we need two boros, two cisterns of water? Do they serve two different functions? And he writes that the Bar Hagola That is the supplier of water for all the needs of the Azar, as we mentioned earlier. But the Bar HaGadol had a different purpose. And that is, says Rabbeinu Yonasan, Meshalshalin u'mishak'im eskiyar b'layla shalo yipaslu meimav b'lina. Right, so for this we'd have to learn a lot more about Masechta Midos. But there's a psul of lina, which means if, let's say, the kiyar, which was used, if I'm not mistaken, I think in English it's called a laver or something along that line. Anyway, the kiyar was used to wash kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, and the mayim could not be left overnight. So what they did was, they took the kiyar that has, you know, leftover water in it from yesterday's avodah, and they submerged it into the Bar HaGadol, and therefore it's not called a psul of lina, because lina only applies when it's exposed. But if it's shakua, it is submerged in mayim, in this case the mayim of the Bar HaGadol, that obviates the psul of lina. Because once it's a psul of lina, then butla kedushasam, etc., etc. Now, the strange thing is, this is very paradoxical, but you have to know more about Kodshim for this, that what happens is when you submerge the kiyar with its vestige of water inside this bar, then the mayim in the kiyar loses its kedusha. Is that good for the Jews or bad for the Jews? You would say it's bad for the Jews, but no, it's dafka good for the Jews. Why? Because the psul lina only applies to mayim that's kadosh b'kedushas migdash. But now that you took this water by submerging the kiyar inside the Bar HaGadol, it no longer has kedusha, and therefore there's no psul of lina. And now in the morning when we what's the opposite of submerge? When we emerge? No, I don't know. I have to look for a verb for that. But anyway, Mailim es hamayim bakiyar from the Bar HaGadol, and now chozer l'kedushaso. It's like creating a kedusha in the mayim in the kiyar. Once you take the kiyar out of the bar, so it's no longer butla kedushaso, and there's no psul of lina. So it's interesting that we circumvent the psul of lina and the mayim and the kiyar by nullifying the kiyar and its mayim such that it doesn't have kedusha, and as a result it's not subject to the psul of lina. However, in the case of the Bar HaGadol, that did not lend itself to shikua of the kiyar, because there was a galgal, there was this kind of a pulley system on top of the Bar HaGadol, and it would be impossible to take the kiyar and submerge it into this bar, just because of the physical, you know, measurements here and the size of the galgal. All right, this is all just an introduction to our Mishnah so that we understand what the Mishnah is coming to allow here, and that is to draw the water from the Bar HaGadol or from the Bar HaGadol in the Lishka of the Azor b'Galgal. So this Galgal is a pulley system, a kind of a wheel that we use to roll up a pail. And this pail is now drawing up the water from the bar, and we're allowed to do this on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to try to figure out why in Medina this would be prohibited, and this has to do with a concept called holodas kol. In other words, the galgal has a certain noise to it. And that noise is considered like almost like a zemer, like a song. You know, we're not allowed to make these noises on Shabbos to generate these kinds of kolos. And That's one approach in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to offer a different approach. I'm just giving you a little bit of a preview that there's a gzera that if he gets used to rolling up a pulley and drawing water from the bar, he might do so out in his fields because he wants to irrigate his fields, and that would be a violation of Melecha Zorea. But in any event, the bottom line is that here again, the Mishnah is offering us a distinction between Migdash and Medina as far as this Shvus, in addition to the Reish of the Mishnah of Bozkim, Melach, which is Metzei Kibon. And finally, the Mishnah says that they were Matir, drawing water from Be'er HaKar, which is a kind of a well that's called a kar, and that was outside of the Migdash, and they allowed that only on Yontif. And if it was Shabbos, then using this kar, which is a well that's located outside the Migdash, would be a violation of a Do'oraisa, and we're only going to allow it for the sake of Migdash, and we'll analyze that in just a second. And this is only going to be a permission on Yontif, but not on Shabbos, because if we're taking water Michutz LaMigdash into the Migdash on Shabbos, that's going to be a problem of Melechas Hotso, which is not a problem on Yontif. Even on Yontif, we're only going to allow drawing water from this particular Be'er, which is called a Kar, Be'er HaKar, but other Be'eros would be Asur, both on Shabbos and on Yontif. You'd not be allowed to use this well, or I should say this wheel to draw from the well, for other wells other than the Be'er HaKar, even on Yontif, because as we said before, we're afraid of either told us HaKol, or we're afraid Shema Yovel Amalos Ulahashkos Es Ginosa. So this Be'er is called a Kar. And I'm going to read to you a note over here about this car here in the English translation. He writes that the car well, the Be'er HaKar, was situated outside the Migdash. And the Gemara is going to explain that there's a special compensation that's offered on Yontif, but only on Yontif, to allow us to override the Shvusim. Again, there's no Hotzah, even though it's outside the Migdash, because on Yontif there's no Isur Hotzah. Now, I have a note here, and with this we'll have to wrap it up for today, that a bear, Beis Aleph Reish, is called a Makom Sheish Bo Mayim Novim. In other words, you have a natural spring of water. But a bar is a place which is man-made. It's a cistern that's dug, and you gather together water inside. It's not a spring. The Bar HaGol and the Bar HaGadol are called bar, each one of them, because those were man-made, and they were mehem mechunasim, right? They would gather together rainwater and so forth. But Be'er, in this case Be'er HaKar, means that there was a Nevias Mayim Chaim. There was a flow of natural spring water, and that's called a bear. And all this is based on the Tosus Rid. Now, there's a Tshuva Sefer called the Toras Mordechai. I'm not 100% sure. I have to research this, but I think I have it. And he bases himself on Rashi and Psachim, who says that on Sukkot, when there was a mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim, then you could only draw water, the minhag was only to draw water from the Bar HaGadol, and based on this, the Toras Mordechai derives the conclusion that even May Bar, like for example the Bar HaGadol, which we said was Mayim Mechunasim, have the status of Mayim Chayim. And he raises the question, I don't get it. Nisuch HaMayim on Chag HaSukkos requires Mayim Chayim. Now, if we've defined a bar as a humanly made cistern which collects water, and that's called Mayim Mechunasim, it's not Mayim Chayim, how then can Rashi say in Masechta Pesachim that you could be Machshir Mei Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos when you draw water from the bar HaGadol? That's not Mayim Chayim. So he explains that you have to see that Rashi in context of a different Rashi, Masechta Zvachim, that Boros Shahoyu Bazara, that there was something unique about the cisterns that were dug in the Azara, Shahoyu Mei Mehem Mechubarim LeMei Mayon, that they actually attached a, shall we say, a pipe that would draw Mayim from a Mei Mayon, spring water, natural water, into these boros that were a structure that was situated in the Azara. And the reason why they're called boros and not be'eros is because they themselves are not a source of flowing water, but their din, halachically, their status is identical with that of Mayim Chayim, because they are mechubarim, they are absolutely attached to the Mei Mayim of Mayon. So the Mayim of a Mayon is coming, flowing into these boros. We only call them boros because they are not actual springs, but they are kosher for Nisuch HaMayim. And here, Abosai, we are up to the Sugyas HaGemara. So we're going to stop here with Ramile Rav Ika Mipsharonia LeRava. And that's what we want to pick up in Mirtz Hashem on Rosh Chodesh on Yom Rishon. So let me wish you all a great Shabbos.